David Baldacci's latest is Nash Falls, a thriller. When Walter Nash is recruited by the FBI to help bring down a global crime network, his life is turned completely upside down in this brand new book by New York Times bestselling author David Baldacci. And it is a hell of a ride. It is a great pleasure to welcome David Baldacci back to the roundtable. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. It's great to be back. Love talking with you about books.
I enjoy that, and I enjoy talking about the stories and how they come to you. At what point does something nag at you and say, "I would love to create a new character"?
Yeah, I think the world is coming at all of us really fast. So my problem is that I have too much that I want to write about. And with this one, I think what kind of struck me is here's a guy who's done everything everybody's told him you're supposed to do. He's worked hard. He got a good education. He's put this time in. He's built up a good life. And then nothing out, totally out of his control, it's all ripped away from him. And he has to start over from scratch and reinvent himself. And I think it's sort of, for me, it's a little bit of a metaphor of life now where, you know, my parents and grandparents, you know, they probably worked at the same company their whole life. Very steady, assured, you know, they didn't have to reinvent themselves during the course of their life. And now my kids' generation, you know, they may go through not just three or four, five, six different jobs. They may go through, you know, 10 different careers because the one they used to have is no longer viable. It's
Right.
gone, obsolete. And they have to keep reinventing themselves, which is quite a burden for a human being to do. And I just thought writing about a guy like Nash who has to not only come to grips with the fact that the life he had is gone, then he has to remake himself into something he never wanted to be, which I think a lot of people are facing that right now.
We'll talk a little bit about that in a second, but here is a guy who has given himself in no small part to his career and is really like the good guy in a place where there are a lot of really bad people.
Yes, and they presented him with choices that no matter which way he goes, they aren't good choices for him and really going to be the end of what his life he thought it was going to be. It's almost like a catch-22 situation. And he, you know, ultimately makes a decision. And as life goes, he does what he's supposed to do, but other people screw up. And that impacts his life and the lives of the people he cares about as well. And that sort of spins the whole story into a new direction, a new dimension, where he has to go even further than he imagined he was going to have to go. This is a book that's all about changing stuff on the fly, you know, that he thinks he's going to turn left and then he has to turn right, which I think also is very symbolic of life today. And at the end, you know, I thought this book was going to be one and done. And I know, judging from emails I've gotten at the office, people are upset that, you know, there's a second book and the ending was not contained in the first book. But when they read the second book, they will realize why I had to write a second book. As intense as Nash Falls is, you know, I hope Rises goes to 11 or 12. And people will understand why I had to make the decision of sort of making it into two books as opposed to one, because there was just too much to resolve from Nash Falls. I could not do it. It justified another full novel.
Too much to resolve, but also too much just in the setup to get it to the point where this man has to completely become another person.
He does. You know, it's almost like, you know, Frankenstein. You have to rebuild yourself into something that's totally unrecognizable to you. And in the second novel, I sort of bring that theme out a little bit. It's like, do you really think I wanted to become this?
Right.
But again, I think that's a very powerful theme. And I like writing books that touch people's lives really viscerally. I want people to read a book and they can pick things out of a book that says, you know what, that apply. It doesn't seem like it just reading it, because I'm not going to be involved ever in a thriller where people are coming after me trying to kill me. At least I hope not. But they can pick bits and pieces out of a story and say, you know what, looking at it from a different prism and a different perspective, that could be me. You know, I could have to be making choices like that and having results like that in my life as well. And then if you get the reader to do that, there's so much more of a deeper connection with them in the story. And it's not going to just be, they're going to read it and forget it. You know, once they're done with it, they're going to read it and elements of that are going to come up in their lives going forward. and they're going to think about it and think about some of the issues I raised in the novel. And really, that's what I want. I know that I'm a thriller writer, I'm a commercial fiction writer, but the things that I write about, I think, are meaningful and substantive, and I want people to think about them.
David Baldacci is our guest. The name of the new novel is Nash Falls, which is out from Grand Central. I don't know. It struck me, having read you for decades, it struck me that this book seemed grittier than a lot of your past work. Do you get that sense? Do you agree with that?
I do. I think the older I get, the grittier I get around the edges. Because,
Yeah.
life tends to do that. I tell you, life is like sandpaper, and you're just going to feel it on your skin a little bit more the longer you're in the game. And I think that I'm at that point in my writing career where I've written enough books where I can do it and say and write what I want now, and I feel sort of liberated because of that. And life is gritty. Let's face it, life is not black and white. There are lots of gray shades all throughout, our existence. And I think in my books going forward, I just want to explore those edges a lot more.
So what you just said struck me of having that freedom. It must be lovely to say, okay, well, these things that I had sort of put on a list of that I did or did not want to do, I don't have to worry about that anymore.
Right. It is. It's a great big place to be in, and I'm glad that I've reached this point. Books are powerful and stories are powerful. And I was just reading an article in New York Times where schools now, because of standardized testing and all this other stuff, and because of shortened attention spans, they don't really assign novels anymore. They assign excerpts. And because of banned books, excerpts weren't really great because they don't have to show students the banned parts of the book. I was reading about a book that was banned in Texas. But they were able to show excerpts of it because they couldn't have the full book because it had an affair in it, an extramarital affair. I guess that was too much for high school students to deal with. It's just, it's ridiculous, isn't it? But if I could control the world, I would banish social media from our existence, and I would make sure that everybody on Earth had a home full of books and they could read anything they wanted at any time, because the world would be a much better place because of that.
Did you have that in your upbringing of access to books and stories?
I lived at the library. I went to the library pretty much every day, at least the school library, and then we went to the public library every week. And I would walk out with stacks of books taller than I was because the librarians there were my friends. I knew I would read all of them. Look, I'm old enough that when I grew up in Virginia, when I was born in Virginia, segregation was still legal. So all the signs were up, and that was my world. I was told that the world was black and white, and I was part of the white world, and I was not to be, could never be part of the black world. The only thing that saved me were books. Racism is based on the fact that one race could look at the other race and say to their members, you should be scared of them. You don't know them. They're foreign. They're strange. They're odd. Stay away from them. But guess what? If you read about people, all sorts of people in books, that boogeyman argument no longer works. And I like to think that books are body armor against bigotry because they really are. That's what saved me. I would not be who I am today, not as a writer, but as a person, if books were not a huge part of my life growing up, because the alternative was what I was being told by everyone else.
At what point in your life did you think to yourself, oh, I okay, so what I'm reading, I would like to do that?
Yeah, I was around 8 years old, and my mom, because at that point in time, I was a little kid in my neighborhood who I never shut up. I would just talk all the time. When I was 5 years old, people started calling me the Austin Avenue lawyer because I argued with everybody about everything. And I grew up to be a trial lawyer. So, it was very prophetic on their part. And so I never shut up. My mom gave me a journal when I was like 8 years old and said, honey, I know you love to read and I know you love telling stories all the time. So why don't you try writing some of them down? And I did. And it was like when my pen hit the paper in that journal, I never looked back because it was like this enormous outlet for everything that was up in my mind. I could just release it. And years later, after I had become a published author, I went back to my mom and I thanked her for the gift she gave me that day because it changed the whole direction of my life. And my mom was very polite, very enthusiastic. And, she said, oh, honey, I'm so glad it's worked out for you like this. But quite frankly, I just wanted to shut you the hell up. So, but we could each claim a victory.
David Baldacci is our guest. The name of the new novel is Nash Falls. As I mentioned, there is that that gritty side to it. And so Nash is a guy who works for a company, and the company is, and it, you know, it, you could say it's cliche, but it just is the way it is, which it's ego and greed that will get these characters in trouble almost every time.
It is, you know, people, I mean, these days, the accumulation of wealth is beyond anything the world has ever seen at this point. I mean, you know, when I was born, there were no billionaires. Now we have trillionaires. I don't know what's next after that. I guess maybe they come up with a different number. I'm not smart enough in math to know what the next one is, but I guess we'll reach it at some point. So that motivates a lot of people. In this novel, it certainly motivates people. You know, the company he works for, Sybaritic, which means lover of luxury, is part of a criminal organization tied to mass importing, exporting of drugs and all types of other diabolical things. And the guy that he works for knows it's going on, as does his father. Nash isn't aware of none of it. He just thinks it's a legitimate organization. So when the FBI comes to him and says, hey, we want you to be our mole, our inside guy, he is absolutely floored by it. And sort of takes on his own investigation to find out if it's actually true. When he finds out it's true, then he decides to help them. And then his whole life is destroyed. And he does the right thing. He makes the right choice. He goes the heroic route, what we would hope anyone would do if confronted by that sort of situation. Will you help us, you know, bring down some really bad people? It's dangerous. Things could happen, but will you do it? He agreed to help, which we can all commend him for that. And then because of that right choice, his life is destroyed, you know? And that really is a major theme of the book. You can do the right thing and bad things can still happen to you. And that, for most people, I think at some level they can understand it, but another level they could think, well, I should never make that choice then. I should always say no when someone asks me to do the right thing. And that's a moralistic, fundamental choice that people have to think about. And that's one of the themes, because that choice could come about in anyone's life at any time. Maybe not at this level, but at lots of different levels too, where you're asked to do something you may not want to do because it's associated with a risk to you. And then you have to sort of grapple with that. And I think those dilemmas, to think about them makes us sharper. To think about them makes us more prepared. Not, you know, it's a rollicking good thriller and it's a lot of action and excitement and twists and turns, but there are some themes in there that I think are important.
Well, one of the things that I think you do so well in the novel is when he is presented with these options of what he can do, there's an understanding that none of these are great options. I mean, it's not like, well, one of these is going to be great for you. One of these is going to be great for us. No, they're all pretty crummy options.
They are. And I think that also sometimes can reflect life too. You know, let's say that you lose your job, but you gain another job, but that job is 2,000 miles away. You have to uproot your whole family,
right?
You know, take kids out of their school, take them away from their friends. That's the one where it's a decision has to be made. And no matter what you decide, somebody's going to be unhappy about it. And now that's just life. There's no free lunch. There's no perfect world. And people have to learn to deal with that. But I think reading books about that can help sharpen your mind to actually deal with those situations a little bit better, more fundamentally, if they actually happen to you, instead of getting blindsided and not being prepared for any of it.
So the pleasure that comes, and I'm sure you're told this a lot, but the pleasure that comes in reading a new series is not only meeting the protagonist, the new character, but some of the additional characters that come along. I'm sure I'm not alone to tell you that Shock is a great character. It's just a fantastic, amazing character.
Yes, I really had Shock. I don't know, in my mind, I had him fully fleshed out from the get-go. I knew how important he was going to be. He was, in all intents and purposes, Walter's father in this novel, because his real father was no longer with him. But Shock was also channeling a lot of Ty Nash, because he was Ty Nash's best friend growing up and throughout their entire lives together. And I knew that the way that I built Walter Nash initially, without help from someone like Shock, he was never going to survive long enough to actually do anything to try to get back at the people who had ruined his life and destroyed his family. So Shock played a number of different roles. He was the guy that told Nash what he needed to hear, whether it was he wanted to hear it or not. he was the one who was able to channel some of his father's sage advice and counsel, so that Nash was a beneficiary of that. And he was also the man that really, he was Dr. Frankenstein. He was the one who rebuilt Nash in the way that Nash wanted to be rebuilt, so he could take his retribution. So he played multiple roles, but at the same time, he had a personal side as well. He had a secret that he'd been keeping for many years of his life, that he finally felt that Nash had earned the right to hear about. And then you understand where his nickname comes from. He was a great character to create. And every time he appeared on the page when I was writing this manuscript, I really smiled. I mean, I felt good about what was happening with him. And I felt really good about what he was doing to Nash's character. I don't think Nash would be nearly as complex of a character without Shock being in the story.
And in the dynamic between Nash and Shock is so fascinating, because this is a character, Shock, who really knows his father better than he does, and is using Shock almost as a key, a way of understanding his father in ways that he could never imagine.
You hit it right on the head, and that's exactly what I he was a portal. Shock was a portal for Nash to be able to resurrect his dead father and actually come to understand him. And Shock was, he it was almost like, he was Homer guiding Dante through the Inferno. And that was really important for me, because again, there was no way I deal in the realm of plausibility. And in order for me to plausible, I needed to have a Shock character in there for Nash early on. Otherwise, Nash was going to be caught by the police or killed by the bad guys, and then the story would be over after page 120. So that was the Shock character. I'm glad you brought him up, because he was something else. I just, he's one that I'm really glad I came up with.
Well, and also so much, and I obviously readers will find this out quickly, but these are two people who serve together. There's that moment of their service in the Vietnam War that forever changes them. And this isn't obviously not an easy thing anyway, but to have them go through this experience together, Nash's father and Shock, obviously changes all of them.
It does. And they were two boys, one black, one white, growing up in Mississippi. And in the time period they grew up, that was obviously going to be a problem for both of them. And then fighting a war together when they were in their 20s, and a war that I think we can all look back upon and say it was a big mistake for our country to be involved in that war, but they had to fight it. And then to come back to this country and go through what they did. And it was also sort of a little bit metaphorical for Ty Nash to have done everything he done. He was a hero. He won all the medals you could win over there. And then the US Army ended up killing him with Agent Orange when the Viet Cong couldn't do the job. And that for me was, my wife's uncle died from Agent Orange. He fought in Vietnam. He was one of the guys that would go ahead to try to defuse bombs and tunnels and things like that the Viet Cong had set. And he was hit with wave after wave of, Agent Orange over the course of his time serving in Vietnam, and it eventually killed him when he was not even 40 years old. And I was thinking about that as I was putting, Ty Nash's character together. I wanted people to understand that here was a guy who, by any measure that this country has, he was a hero, and he fought for his country, and he did all the right things and won all the medals, and the enemy couldn't kill him, but his own side eventually did. And I wanted people to think about that during the course of thinking about wars in general.
In Nash, you have a character where we learn just how powerful retribution can be as a motivator.
It is. I mean, I can't think of any greater incentive, actually, because when you've lost everything that you have, no action becomes beyond you, because what else can you lose that's any more important than what you've already lost? So when you deliver that to a human mind, you have set off quite a potential weapon that then can be unleashed upon other people. The human mind is an amazing thing. I know the whole rage now is about artificial intelligence. This thing is totally and completely unique, and no software platform ever created will ever approach what this can do. If you want regurgitation, you can go AI. If you want originality, I like to call it NHI, natural human intelligence. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. So, but it can, when provoked, this thing can turn into an incredible power of revenge, retribution, and terrible things can come from it, as we've seen over the years, the history of this world. So yeah, it unleashed it and unleashed this man. And I found that one of the most, look, in writing this character, taking him from a businessman sitting behind a desk doing deals to what he eventually became and what you will see, what he becomes even more in Hope Rises. It was a journey for me, I have to tell you, because I wasn't really sure how far I was going to push this. And I finally got to the point where I was like, let's just go. I'm not going to push him against the wall. I'm going to push him through the wall and see what comes out the other side.
It's kind of, I thought as reading it as a 58-year-old guy, I'm reading it and I'm thinking to myself, well, man, so you can actually, start not being just a wump. This guy has quite a transformation, and does the work, and it pays off.
Well, the human body is also an amazing thing. And it is built for action and it is built to move. It is built for strength and endurance. Unfortunately, now most people just sit for a living. And so the body is not asked to do anything. But if you ask it to do something and you train it in the right way and feed it what it needs while you're doing that, the transformation can be absolutely amazing. I mean, I've seen, Hollywood actors in 3 months go from slob to Arnold Schwarzenegger, because they get the fuel they need and they get the training they need, and the body responds to that. Like nobody, I don't think people really understand how quickly it can actually happen. I mean, I gave Nash over a year to transform himself into what he becomes in the novel, which I thought I wanted to be plausible again. Quite frankly, I could have done it in less time, but I chose that time period because I thought, then nobody could say, oh my God, he couldn't have become that in the time period. Well, yeah, trust me, in 14 months, I work out all the time. I'm a very fit person, even though I'm 65 now. But you give me 14 months with anyone, I can turn them into a Hercules.
As you have done with this character, sir. The name of the book, Nash Falls, and it is a thriller. It's just out. So then we only have to wait to April to find out what happens.
Yep, and I gave you the first two chapters of Hope Rises in the back, so that starts off with a literal bang, and then I told my publisher, look, I've got both books ready to go. We're not going to wait a year in between. We're going to go 6 months. April is going to come out, and then they're going to know the rest of the story.
The name of the book, Nash Falls, a Thriller. It is published by Grand Central. David Baldacci, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. I thank you so much for sharing with us, and my best to you for a beautiful new year.
Thank you. Same to you. Always a
Be
joy.
well.
Look forward to talking to you again.
Same here. Thank you very much. Be well. Again, the new book is Nash Falls, a Thriller by David Baldacci, published by Grand Central. The new book, the conclusion to the story, will come out in April. It is called Hope Rises. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.